Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to another Testudo Talk podcast. Instant reaction. Maryland football just lost to Illinois here at CQ Stadium, 27-24 on a walk-off field goal. Andrew, this was a pretty disappointing loss. That would probably be understating it. For anyone that listened to our preview podcast, we both predicted Maryland to win this game somewhat comfortably. From the start, it just didn't feel right for Maryland. This was a big letdown spot after that Ohio State, that emotional loss. I know you've been talking about your thoughts on this game throughout the night, so I'll just put the ball on the tee for you and let you, you know, kind of give your thoughts here.
Yeah, Maryland played like shit. It was an embarrassing performance. This is a team that has played, even though their opponents have been pretty weak, their schedule, this is a team that's shown that they have the skill to be a top 30, if not 25 team in the country. They came out flat. Their skill guys looked okay, nothing special. Overall, the execution was poor. This is an Illinois team that ranks near the bottom of the conference in both total offense and defense. Illinois quarterback Luke Altmyer honestly really torched the Terps. I think he had, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think it was 2 touchdowns. Then we could talk about,
he had 235 yards, including his rushing yards. I think he had 205 passing yards.
And then on the last drive of the game, Maryland allows 2 huge plays down the sideline that allows Illinois to get into field goal range. Caleb Griffin, who's a really good player, 2-time All Big Ten selection, kicker for Illinois, puts it not comfortably through, but it goes through. Illinois takes this one. And I think it's an instant reaction, right? So I'm going to say, I don't want to say the world's ending, right? But I think you do have to put this in the big picture a little bit, right? Maryland's 5-1. They compete with Ohio State, okay? A lot of people are saying this is a 9-win, maybe even 10-win team, right? And this is Mike Locksley's best roster in 5 years. That's not debatable. The sky isn't falling, right? Maryland plays Northwestern next week, where they should be 6-2. But as we saw today, anything can happen in the Big Ten. And after that, you have games against Nebraska and Rutgers, and then you have the 2 games against Michigan and Penn State. That's correct, right? Am I missing anybody?
Yeah, I mean, not in that order, but those are the games.
Right, so I think you look at the Nebraska and you look at the Northwestern game, and you say, yeah, Maryland and the Rutgers, you say Maryland probably should have at least 8 wins in the season, if not 9. So if you're going to have an 8-win season or 9-win season, it's not the worst thing in the world, but again, it's just like the Ohio State game. It's the opportunity. You had an opportunity for a huge win. You didn't win. You showed to the country you can compete. Here, you have an opportunity to go 6-1, become bowl eligible at the fastest part of the season since 2001. Fail. Mike Locksley, he was in his presser. He said this was a failure, basically. If you're a Maryland fan, I think it's understandable to be unbelievably disappointed in what happened.
And judging from the Maryland fans I've been interacting with and seeing online, there is a lot of anger now about
this
game.
Here's the thing, right? With Maryland football, you have your every year, well, not anymore with the flex schedule, every year you have your 3 games against Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan.
You expect to lose those, pretty much.
This year was a year where you're gifted a schedule almost, and you have to take care of business in the games you should win, and they did that. And today, they didn't do that. And it's a reflection on the coaching staff. It's a reflection on the coaching staff, and you can kind of go into some of the questionable decisions that were made today.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the one that I think stood out to most people. It's on that drive where they're down 3 in the fourth quarter. They're driving. They're facing 3rd and 6 with about 2-ish minutes left. They had just run the ball, I believe, 2 straight times, right? Maybe they hadn't. But
it was going for the 3rd straight run.
Yeah. And they decided to run the ball out left with Antoine Littleton, which, you know, if they get that play, no one's really thinking about it. But in that moment, you know, the way that their running game has not been that effective this year. I mean, it certainly has not been up to what we expected it would be. To not have Hemby on the field was a little bit weird. And then they decided to run that play, and it goes nowhere. I think they lost a yard. And luckily, you know, Jack Howes makes that kick, which, you know, Jack Howes, you know, another up-and-down game from him. He missed another kick, and you know, it is what it is. You know, they didn't lose this game because of Jack Howes, but a really questionable play call there. We saw it last week against Ohio State where Josh Gattis dialed up, was it 3 or 4 straight runs late in that game in an important drive. It felt like it felt way too conservative for understanding the moment. You know, maybe in a vacuum, like Loxley said, you know, they have plays that they feel comfortable that they can get 6 yards with on the ground. You should have those plays. But that running attack just had not proved itself to the point where I feel like you could trust them with, I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say with the game on the line, I didn't feel like that was the right call to make. I felt like they should have passed the ball. And when you have a fifth-year quarterback coming back, we've talked so much about Talia. This team has talked so much about Talia and what he means to this team. Just to take the ball out of his hands there just felt like a really poor decision.
Here's what I don't get. Last week, Mike Loxley opens his Ohio State presser. Opens the presser up. We win and lose with Talia. Today? No. I mean, he did not honor that message. And I think another pretty awful coaching decision was at the end of the half, Illinois drives down. They ultimately get, I think, to the 5-yard line. Oh, you know, ultimately because Jayshon Barham and Quayshon Fuller took.
Quayshon Fuller had Quayshon Fuller had the hands to the face, yeah. And then Jayshon Barham, which just, I mean, I know it's the heat of the moment. I haven't played college football, yeah. Division I college football, so I'm sure, you know, it's so much faster when you're out there, but, you know, hit the quarterback like a full second after he released the ball. Just a dumb penalty from a player that's normally so even-keeled, not likely to make emotional decisions, really solid player. It was just really uncharacteristic.
Back to the coaching decision. You have 10 seconds left in the half. Maryland's up 14-7, and Illinois lines up to kick, clearly going to kick. 9 seconds left. Mike Loxley calls a timeout. You're icing a kicker from our 21-yard field goal.
A really good kicker too. It's not a guy that's like prone to miss that.
And then Illinois, they go for it. Why not? You're underdog. You're 2-4 in the season. They go for it.
Like 40 extra seconds to call up your favorite short yardage play.
And they get a touchdown, right? So that's a coaching decision. That makes no sense. All right, so we've gone over two coaching decisions that make no sense. Now let's go over, in my opinion, the play of the game that ultimately derailed Maryland, Caden Prather. Go ahead.
Remind me of that one. I'm so stuck on these coaching decisions, I forgot about that. Are you talking about the fumble?
2 minutes left in the half. Maryland's up 14-7. Caden Prather catches the ball, gets down to Illinois' 28-yard line. Maryland has a legitimate chance to go 21-7. He's going to the ground. You're up.
Yeah, so another one of those moments, you know, late in the first half. We're working on 3 straight weeks now of this. I mean, you know, they've talked about cleaning it up, and I know they've talked about cleaning up a lot of stuff, but, I mean, this is the kind of stuff. It just keeps happening over and over again, and when it keeps happening over and over again, it's just hard to imagine that this stuff is anything other than just maybe what this team's DNA is. You know, against Indiana, they have the Jayshon Jones – they run out of time when they're trying to get yards for a field goal, and Jayshon Jones, you know, uses too much time before he runs out of bounds. The week before, they have the check down, or the week after, they have the check down to Antoine Littleton, which cost them points at Ohio State, which we talked about so much in the podcast last week. And then this one, they're with under 2 minutes left in the first half. Caden Prather, who had a touchdown by that point, they were up 7, Maryland was, with a chance to extend that lead to 2 touchdowns, and even though they had a slow start, which we've seen, I mean, a lot this year, even though they've had a slow start, if they score a touchdown there, especially if they score a touchdown, I mean, it kind of undoes all that, and now you're going into the half probably with a 14-point lead against a team that, you know, has been kind of a mess this year, and they throw the ball at Caden Prather, he makes the play, he goes to cut, and the ball just gets stripped cleanly. At first, there's a little bit of debate, but when you look at the replay, there's no doubt that ball was out. It just plays like that, and that was right before the personal fouls and then the timeout that resulted in the touchdown at the end of the half. It was just a nightmare 2 minutes for Maryland, and it just so embodied what this game was all about for them, just the self-inflicted wounds, the combination of poor coaching, poor execution, that results in Illinois hanging around much longer than Maryland should have let them. And it comes back to bite you. And, you know, we talked so much on the preview about how weak Illinois was, how much of a disaster their offense has been this year. But you wouldn't know which was the better team. You wouldn't know which team was 5-1 and which team was 2-4 if
Illinois
just watch this game.
Illinois was the better team.
This was a game that Maryland should have coasted to victory in, should have been bowl eligible, like you said, should have been 6-1. And I know you talked about, you know, you still look at the schedule and you don't want to talk about the sky's falling. And I won't say the sky is falling because I don't believe that. But yes, but it's like if we're saying like, okay, well, you can beat these teams, you can beat Rutgers, you can beat Nebraska or whatever. But if you put up a performance like this, I mean, Rutgers might be bowl eligible. I don't even know, but Rutgers is off to a pretty good start. You know, Nebraska's on the road. Northwestern is, you know, like, Northwestern's not good, but, like, I don't know, after this game, I can't confidently say that there are any gimmies left on Maryland's schedule. And, you know, they'll make a bowl game for sure. They'll probably win 7 or 8 games. But it just feels like in this season where it's supposed to be different and this is supposed to be Loxley's best team and they're supposed to take advantage of that, it just felt like this is the kind of game that can't happen. This felt like the same old Maryland from past couple of years and the kind of game that, you know, maybe they would have lost a couple of years ago, but you would hope by this point was out of their system. But, I mean, I guess not. I guess, you know, it's probably a better team on paper, but I mean, I don't know. From what they showed today, I think this game, I lost a ton of confidence in what they can accomplish this year.
Emmett, do you want to know why Maryland football is such a frustrating program?
Go for it.
Past 2 years.
Settle in.
Past 2 years, and even the past multiple years, 3-1 starts, 4-1 starts, beat West Virginia, have someone against Texas. Middle of the season comes. The past two seasons, right, when Maryland's had a pretty good roster, let's go over this. Last season, you go
last
to...
Last season they didn't have
Hold on. You're the midway point of the season comes. It's the sixth game of the season against Purdue. You lose. The season before that, your 6th and 7th game of the season, you lose. This season... midway point, they lose. Every time Maryland, they start off hot and they show some promise. There's this middle of the season struggle that kind of brings them back to earth. Maryland's in this 6th and 7th game, so the midway point, so the end of the first 6 games and the start of the last 6 games over the past 3 seasons. Maryland has, including this, has lost 6 of those 7 games. That is a crazy number, and I think that's why the Maryland fan base get so deflated by this Maryland team, because they show you hope and then they suffer a loss, a back-to-back loss. That's just so disappointing. And specifically to this season, right? And so now you have back-to-back losses. But Maryland against Ohio State, they're up 10-0. They have the ball. They're going to get the ball to start the second half. The ball's in their court, quite literally. And Talia Tagovailoa throws an interception, gives Ohio State all the momentum they need to take over in the second half. Today, you're up 14-7. You're driving down the field. It looks like you're going to go up 21-7. Self-inflicted mistake. Illinois ties the game. They gain some momentum. They end up scoring the next 10 points of the game to go up 24-14. Get the field goal. It's enough for them to win the game. Maryland's killing themselves right now. It's not the other teams that are beating them. Maryland is beating itself. And that's why these past two games have been so disappointing, because the opportunity. This season was an opportunity. These past two games have been an opportunity, and you haven't been able to take advantage of that opportunity. And again, season's not over. They're still gonna probably win eight games. They're gonna be in a bowl game, possibly a pretty good bowl game. But it's just the opportunity to right there.
Yeah, but you know what you need to do now is you need to beat Penn State or Michigan for this to be like a big success of a season, because the hope was, I mean, even if you don't beat those three teams, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. You know, the hope was the way the schedule is playing out. I mean, this was a gift of a schedule. I don't know if that's exactly the term you used a couple minutes ago, but I mean, this is a gift of a schedule. The way this thing was shaping up, I mean, Illinois didn't have a Big Ten win coming into today. Illinois hadn't won the turnover battle in a game coming into today. You know, they had won, but they had lost that game. Like, this was a get right game after an emotional loss. And instead it turned into a huge letdown game going into the bye week, and now we're going to have a full week to, you know, maybe it's a good thing that they can get healthy a little bit. You know, there were a lot of players missing today, but...
You know, we should address that, like, we should address the injuries, because Maryland was missing a bunch of key starters in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I might forget them. There were so many. I mean, Tarheeb still wasn't playing. Corey Bullock wasn't playing. Fill me in if I'm forgetting it. Corey Dyches wasn't playing. Oh man, I'm forgetting them all.
Either way, those are three huge pieces to the team.
Dante Trader wasn't playing.
But again, it's not an excuse, right? Yeah, it's Illinois is not a good team, and
yeah, I mean Illinois is not a good team. Maryland just lost to not a good team. Does that make Maryland a bad team? No, Maryland is still a solid team. But if you didn't lose confidence in Maryland after watching this game, I think you are having the wrong reaction. Because, you know, it was just the self-inflicted mistakes. It was the same story from last week, but it was more mistakes, and the only reason the score wasn't as bad is because you're playing Illinois instead of Ohio State. I mean, this was, you know, this was a bad performance. You said they played like shit. They played like shit. This was a terrible performance for Maryland. I mean, like, what can we say? And, you know, the bye week is coming at, I guess, the right time because, you know, maybe you have a chance to stop this downward spiral a little bit, get healthy. You know, the second half of the season is obviously going to be huge, but, I mean, I saw the same three words online on Twitter from all the people tweeting at me, tweeting at Testudo Times, and there were a lot of people doing that, and thank you for all doing that. You know, sometimes it was getting a bit outrageous, but the same three words I saw were the same old Maryland. This felt like the same old Maryland from the past couple of years. If you had just watched this game, I mean, I said that you wouldn't know which one of these teams had the better record coming into this game. I mean, if you watched this game, I would have thought I was watching the 2021, 2019 Mike Locksley teams from the way they were playing and shooting themselves in the foot in this game. And it was coaching, it was playing, it was everything. It was just a perfect storm. And, you know, maybe it says something about Maryland that they have to play that badly in order to lose to a team like Illinois. But at the end of the day, they played that badly and they lost to a team like Illinois. So I don't know if there's really much else to say about that.
Here's what I'll leave everyone with. I grew up in a Maryland Terrapins household, and I've been watching this team for many, many years. And football's always had this sense of disappointment to it, right? And it's always with false hope, if you will. And today kind of epitomized that. And just to go back to what's happened in the past few years, right, including today, in the latter half of the season, Maryland is a combined 5-8. That's really bad.
Wait, repeat that one again? I'm not sure I'm following.
Over the past 2 years, including today, in the latter six games
of the
season.
Oh, in the final six games of the season. Not including bowl games, I take it?
Not including bowl games. Maryland is 5-8.
Yeah, I mean, part of that is schedule. But yeah, I mean, it's just something about this team that it's what we said in the preseason about Taulia Tagovailoa, and it's, I think, it can be extrapolated to this team and really just to this program. And, you know, this is going to go down probably as us, you know, we're talking like the sky is falling. Who knows what will happen with the rest of the season, but like, it just feels like this team is incapable of putting together 60 minutes of consistent effort. We've seen the highs. We've talked about the highs on this podcast. We've talked about the lows, but it feels like every game is like these ebbs and flows. It feels like this is our fourth year as students here, and I know our first year was a bit screwed up, and you know, in terms of how many football games were played and stuff, but like, I mean, I can't remember a game other than maybe like when they played Howard a couple years ago, when they played Rutgers last year, because that was just embarrassing for Rutgers, but like, where they've been the better, like, full 60 minutes Maryland better team. And if you can't put that together for, if you can't put it together for a full 60 minutes, can you put it together for 12 games? I mean, you don't have to put it together for 12 games, but like, it just feels like it's the consistency with this team. It feels like you can see the flashes, but then you have games like this that just like completely take down your opinion of this team. And like you said, there's always like kind of this inevitable sense of disappointment with Maryland football. And this team was meant to be the team that would change that narrative. And it feels like, I mean, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep covering this team, obviously. And, you know, I'm really excited to do that. There's a lot of great games on the schedule, and people should still be really excited about Maryland football and where it could go. But, I mean, there was not a lot of people in the stands today, partially because of weather. But there were not a lot of people in the stands today. Like, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that just check out after this game that are just going to be like, when's basketball season start? Like, it feels like that kind of performance where it's like, you're going to lose a lot of the fans that, you know, you've been clamoring for, that you had a chance to kind of win back. And I think people can kind of accept when you lose to Ohio State, but when you lose to a team like that in that fashion, it's just such a gut punch. I mean, we're shortly after the game, so obviously it's very raw, and like we're stuck in the instant reaction portion of it, but it's hard to see in like a week that I'll be feeling anything other than just like disappointed in the way this team played and disappointed in this result, and not extrapolate that to what I feel about what they're able to accomplish the rest of the season.
Yeah. Overreacting is so fun, but no,
it's the best part about doing this podcast. We can overreact as much as we'd like.
In all seriousness, I know we laugh, but you mentioned how you know, the fans kind of check out. It's kind of a yearly thing with Maryland football, and they kind of say, when's basketball season starting, right? That's a problem. Right?
I got multiple texts from different people saying, basketball school, we're a basketball school. I'm not going to any of the football games anymore.
No, I got two texts in the fourth quarter. Well, Moose basketball's coming soon.
And I said this to you, I mean, this is going to be a great basketball matchup, Maryland versus Illinois, which I guess I'm feeding right into that narrative, but that's going to be a fun game.
No, it's just disappointing because the potential's there for this program, but, well, I mean, there has been a letdown game each of the past 3 years. This was a tremendous letdown, and I don't know. It's Maryland football. It's
not even a letdown against, like, a good team, though. That's what makes this so disappointing, is that this was a letdown against a team that, I mean, not only should you have beat them, you should have beat them convincingly on NBC. I mean, Maryland should stop playing national TV games, because it seems like every time they're playing national TV games, you know, they put out a performance like this. It's pretty, I mean, for all, I mean, let alone the Maryland fans, like, for everyone else watching, they're like, oh, Maryland sucks. If this is the first game they watch them, I mean, everyone was probably watching Oregon, Washington, but, like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people watching this game, watching the Ohio State game, which they actually played all right for part of it, but, you know, watching the Charlotte game, like, that are watching these games and being like, you know, Maryland football, why are people hyping them up? Why are people talking about Maryland football as one of the better teams in the Big Ten? I still believe that they're a top, I don't know, five team in the Big Ten, but, I mean, especially after what we saw from, like, Iowa and Wisconsin today, I mean, the Big Ten West is a disaster. And Illinois was 0-3 in the Big Ten West. I mean, it was, I don't know what the final score of that game was, but it was 7-3 going into the fourth quarter, Iowa-Wisconsin, which is like, I could do another 20-minute rant on the Big Ten West, because that's just so hilarious to me. But yeah, I mean, just what a gut punch of a loss, and what a terrible time for it to happen.
Yeah.
It just seems like worst-case scenario for it to happen at this point in the season.
That's the way to summarize this loss. It's disappointing. It's demoralizing. But the season isn't over. Maryland is on a bye week next week, which gives us some time to talk about some basketball coverage.
Yeah, we got Basketball Media Day is next week, so we'll try to have some podcast content coming out from Basketball Media Day. Hopefully talk to some of the players, coaches, you know, get everyone involved, get everyone excited for basketball season, which is coming up soon. Obviously, you know, this is a football reaction podcast, so, you know, we're not going to talk too much about that, but yeah, it's exciting that you have that, and, you know, even if you feel like the sky is falling for Maryland football, just know that there's still a lot to be excited about.
And basketball's coming!
And please keep listening to the podcast, even if Maryland loses more football games.
Yes.
That's the most important lesson you should take from this game, is keep listening to the Testudo Talk podcast.
Maryland football had its disappointment, but Deshaun Harris-Smith and Jamie Kaiser are ready to lead the Maryland basketball program.
Yes, you could be very excited about that, and there's still a lot to be excited about the football team, but they'll get a week off, hopefully. They can get some things right and, you know, come out stronger at Northwestern. If they lose at Northwestern,
well, no.
The alarm bells are already sounding, but then it's like, evacuate the premises. Like, this is all hands on deck.
Emmett, if they lose at Northwestern, for reference, I'm going to the game, so I'll be there.
He'll be our representative.
If Maryland loses
in Evanston
to Northwestern, and I'm in there in Evanston live, whew, that would be
If you're a fan of Maryland football, you should want them to beat Northwestern. If you're a fan of Andrew's rants, you should hope they lose to Northwestern.
On that note, thank you everyone for listening. Maryland football fell to Illinois, a disappointing result, but we'll be back next week during Maryland's bye week to talk some Maryland basketball.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.